Nerdy nocą?
Hey!
To jest Pixel Heaven.
Thank you very much for inviting us to Pixel Heaven.
In my opinion, the best retro festival in Europe.
I'm loving this! Are we not loving Pixel Heaven?
How I wish you were here.
Jest godzina 11, w związku z czym już za chwileczkę, mam nadzieję, że zgodnie z programem, zacznie się sesja pytań i odpowiedzi, czyli Q&A z panem Petro Tyszczenko, czyli ostatnim prezesem świętej pamięci Amigi. In just a while, there will be a Q&A session with Mr. Petro Tyszczenko, the last CEO of Amiga Corp.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy to be here. This is my first time. In Warsaw, I was many, many times already. And I met yesterday evening people who told me that they met me the last time, 1998. So at this time, Amiga was still in glory. After this time, two-time bankruptcy, but the community is still strong and I'm very happy to be here. Maybe for those people which do not know me, I started my career with Commodore in 1982 in Frankfurt. I was 4 years responsible for the German logistics, warehousing, container coming in, allocation. At this time, C64, and VIC-20 was the highlight, and we shuffled a lot of goods to the German customers because Germany was one of the strongest sales company worldwide. Then I was 4 years responsible for the European subsidiaries. We have had 11 subsidiaries in Europe, and I was traveling around, coordinating, make the forecast, and do the allocation, have a warehouse, international warehouse in Rotterdam, where the containers from Far East come in. And then after this, the last 4 years, so 12 years in totally, I was responsible then for logistic worldwide. I was traveling Hong Kong, where we have meetings for the allocation, and then last not least, traveling Taiwan, and have seen when the company went into bankruptcy in 1994 was this, yes. So, Thomas, you have some question for me.
Yes, tell us how did you start with Commodore? The whole history of how did you make it into Commodore?
How I did it? It was a dream. At this time, in the 1980s, I started, as I told you already, on 1st October of 1982. And I was looking for a computer company. So I saw Commodore, great company, the pioneer under the computer. I said, I have to go to this company. But it was not so easy, you know. First I make an application. I saw an advertisement in the newspaper from a headhunter. So, and then I wrote my application to this headhunter and I got a date and we have an interview and I was very proud because the interview was excellent. But 2 weeks later I got a letter and they said, sorry, sir, we decided for another candidate. That's it. But meanwhile, I met another guy in the company where I worked before, and he told me that he knows the managing director of Commodore, and he would like to ask him if he needs such a guy like me, because he knows me very much. So, and then I get a phone call, and then I got a contract, independent of this headhunter. This was how I started.
So your first responsibility was managing for Germany, yes?
Yes, German. 4 years for Germany.
4 years for Germany, then...
Software, purchasing, I was responsible for purchasing, for logistic, 4 years, right. And have a warehouse in Braunschweig, where we have a manufacturing company, assembling company.
At the time when the Amiga arrived at Commodore in 1985, you were already in Commodore.
Yes.
How do you remember that time when the Amiga was presented and started selling?
Everybody talks about multimedia, but to be honest, nobody from us knows what is multimedia, right? So we understand then when we saw the first presentation of the A1000, this was a great feeling to see this machine and to see also the fantastic people who love this A1000. This was a great event in Frankfurt, in the old opera, and it was in New York. I think it was in a Carnegie Hall
in,
or something.
In Lincoln's.
Lincoln's, yes, right. I was not there, but I was in Frankfurt.
Okay, maybe you will do the presentation, but the last question, what was the real cause of Commodore's death?
What was the real?
The real cause. Why did Commodore fall?
This I don't understand the tale again. What?
I mean, why did Commodore die?
Yes. Why did Commodore die?
There's several reasons. The main reason.
I think the main reason are the PCs, because maybe you remember
the
Commodore.
The PCs are always to blame.
No, not always, but sometimes. But in this case, for sure, because at this time we have had two developing departments in Westchester. One was responsible for the PC, and they designed excellent PCs, to be honest. The purchasing department, located in Japan and in Hong Kong, was buying the hard disk drives. And you know, maybe you can remember, the older of you will remember, that every three months, I would say, come a new hard disk drive, 20 megabyte, 40 megabyte, 60 megabyte, and so on. And the purchasing people, they bought the wrong one. And you know, then a new hard disk drive come out at this time, you can throw away, you can cannibalize the stock. And this hurts us a lot of. And then of course Taiwan came. And at Taiwan, they brought cheap PCs on the market, which are not competitive. We are not competitive with the Taiwan machines. Our PCs in Westchester was very good designed, but too expensive for the market. So this was another reason. And then we have excess inventory because we cannot get rid of this inventory so fast, and this hurts us also. And then, of course, at the time from Commodore, the CDTV, for example, was a very good machine, but too early for the market. No software there. This was always a problem from Commodore. We have great hardware, but no software, right? These are only a few things, but of course, there are also a lot of things from the management side. At this time, I have not decided, later then, but at this time, I was innocent, to be honest, on all this bankruptcy with Commodore. Okay, is your question?
Yeah, it's okay. So maybe we should start the presentation, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have prepared, you have a clips?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Okay. I have prepared a short presentation with some highlights from starting from 1954. I think I call this presentation Rise and Fall of a Computer Pioneer. Commodore was really the computer pioneer, and I'm always a little bit worried about if I see the news, they're never reporting that Commodore was a pioneer. They're always talking about Atari, about iMac and Apple and so on, but never about Commodore. This presentation is from Patrick Köhler, which is also, I wrote a book with him together about my remembrance of Commodore and Amiga. You can see here in 1954, Jack Tramiel is opening a shop, typewriting machines in New York. So Jack Tramiel was a Jewish guy. He was born in Warsaw, and he was unfortunately also in a concentration camp, I think in Auschwitz, and suffered a lot for the German Nazis here. 1958, he founded officially the company Commodore Typewriter in Toronto, in Canada. Jack Tramiel died already. So this was the first machines in 1960, typewriting machines and electric calculators. 1971 was the foundation of the Commodore Büromaschinen GmbH in Germany. It was originally founded in Hanover, and then we moved later to Frankfurt. You see first the building in Hanover. It was not the whole building, but it was advertisement, and then the whole building was in Frankfurt. This was the early years of 1970. There was a famous desktop calculators, which need a net, not on battery, you need a power supply, and also the James Bond watch, which I saw yesterday also. Some guy of enthusiast, Mr. Amiga and Commodore guy, he showed me this watch. The highlight was in 1975.
That was the turning point for the Commodore.
Yes, This was we bought MOS technology, and if you see on the chipsets from the old computer machines, there's always MOS technology. That was really great because we have our own chipsets. We could use our own chipsets for our own machines. This was in Pennsylvania, in Westchester. In 1977, the first Commodore PET 2001 came out with a pedal. I think he was the designer of this machine. As a personal computer, the first personal computer in the world, what is? IBM has these big machines, and we said, the big machine, the IBM's always argued, he said, our big machines will always stand in the offices. And we said, no, the computer future is not in the office, of course in the office as well, but at home. The typewriter machines will be replaced with the personal computer, and this was the right way, and you see how it works today.
Please remember, this is 1 year before Apple II.
Yes.
Which is officially called the first desktop machine you could buy in a shop. No, the PET was the best, was the first machine, actually.
So then 1979 to 1983, coming more PETs, and then the CBM, the 4000 also. Like this computer with a built-in monitor. In 1980, the second highlight, VIC-20, we call this, in Germany, we call this VC-20, Volkscomputer, and it was really great. All these machines at Christmas time, at Easter time, on holidays, for the children, for the older people, was on allocation. You cannot buy it in a shop, you have to apply first, and then you got an allocation, if you're lucky, after 2-3 weeks. It was really incredible time. And then when I started, there came the Commodore C64. The C64 was released in Las Vegas.
We can see one here.
Ah, okay. Here you see. And was sold 17 million times. It's still the most sold computer in the world. From one unit, from one model, 17 million. And you can buy still in the eBay, I think, for 10, 20 or 30 euro, well, a C64.
Up till today, the Commodore 64 is the most successful selling computer,
yes,
in the world. And 17 million units, yes, sold worldwide. Right, this is right. Really, really a big number.
And I think you can see here also on the Pixel Heaven a lot of C64s, and there's also a special department, I think, which you installed for the A1200, A4000, and so on, the Commodore and Amiga machines. So you should have a look. In 1984, of course, the company developed, this was the 264, based on a C64, was a 16, the 116 and the plus 4. Not bad machines, but not so accepted from the market. Today, of course, you have to pay a lot of money for this people. Then you see we have had in Braunschweig a factory, mostly assembling. We worked with the Technical University in Braunschweig together, and we produced their PCs, the PC1, the PC2, the PC3, and the PC4, I think this was a German product. You see here, we celebrated with Helmut Joost, with Helmut Joswig, he was the manufacturing general manager. In the middle is Winfried Hoffmann, he was at this time the general manager of the German company. He's died already 2 years ago. Many people of the old staff is already gone away. I'm so sorry about this. I'm always a survivor. Sometimes I will also disappear. And then you see me, young and fresh and strong. Then comes this 128. It was also based on the C64. There was two types, one was with a hard disk drive and one was the normal things. Very nice machine, 1985. And then the highlight in New York, we mentioned this already, the Commodore Amiga 1000. Worldwide, the first multimedia machine.
Yeah, one of the most important machines in history of computing, right. That's for sure.
There was some where all the employees, the developing department signed inside. So if you have an A1000, maybe you have this model where you can see all the engineers which signed inside.
Yeah, just like on the original Apple Macintosh.
Right.
Inside the case you have molds of signatures.
1985. And here you see Jay Miner, the father of Amiga.
The creator of the Amiga chipset and the idea.
Right. And he was born 1932 and unfortunately also passed away already in 1994. Jay Miner, the father of Amiga. In 1987, Commodore developed the A500 and the A2000. The A500 was for the mass market and the A2000 was more for the commercial market. The A500 was a very good machine. And there I will show you the A600. I think here, the A3000 come first in 1990. And then we also built the CDTV in 1991. CDTV, great machine, a DVD player, we can say, based on an A500.
Right. Yeah, it's the first mass-produced computer with a CD drive built in as a standard.
This hurts us also a lot because we thought we will sell a lot of, and we placed at Matsunichi, Panasonic, this in Japan, 250,000 pieces for manufacturing. And then we sold around about 25,000 only, and we have to cancel this. The reason why we're selling so less was because of the link of the software. At this time also Philips, he developed the CDI, linked also, have also problems because there was no movies, no playing, nothing, only the hardware. And hardware alone doesn't help, you need the software.
Well, the other reason that the Commodore CDTV failed to the market is that there was a bad marketing decision at Commodore, which forced the CDTV to be on shelves where CD players are, not where the computers are.
Right.
This is a very bad decision because when somebody walked into the store and wanted to buy an Amiga, or somebody walked into the store and wanted to buy a CD player and came across like Philips, Panasonic, Commodore, why should I buy Commodore, yes? I want a CD player, not Atari, for example, yes? So this was a very bad decision.
And I think the machine was too early in the market. It should be a little bit later. Then it will be very successful, I think. Yeah, this you can see. On the one side, the guy with the glasses, Mehdi Ali. He was my boss, long time. And the other man is Irvin Gould. Irvin Gould was the guy who financed all with the company. A finance guy from Canada. He passed away already. And then in 1992, the market asked for a replacement of the A500, and we created the A600. The A600 was smaller than the A500, but nobody would like it at this time. Everybody would like to continue with the A500. It was a big problem. The UK would like to sell it. The German, they don't like to sell it, and there was a big fight in the market. Then we have a marketing strategy to take back the A500 and replace it to the 600, but it doesn't work because the A600 was not so powerful as the A500.
Well, the other reason that the A600 was not successful is that it was more expensive than 500.
Right. So, but nowadays, everybody loves the 600 because you can fit in a lot of things, so it's expendable. A500 is not so expendable, not so friendly as the A600. 1992, A4000, great machine. Later we have also a tower of the A4000 and still a treasury in the market. You cannot get this so easy, the A4000. A1200, this is the machine which I love at most. This was also the idea. When Commodore went bankruptcy, that I manufactured the A1200 again for the market and the A4000. This was the two machines which I started to selling after the bankruptcy. Then Amiga CD32, the first 32-bit machines in the market, was really great, highlight. The problem was that this machine, not the hardware, but still the software, a lot of English software manufacturer They refused to make software for the CD32 because they collected a bad experience with a C64, and Commodore make hard contracts with them, so they don't like to make any software anymore. And then CD32 was without software, also without value, unfortunately, but a very good machine. Yeah, what happens? 29th of April, 1994, Commodore went in liquidation. Commodore went out of business. I don't know if you can see this, but I show you the organization of Commodore International. We have had around 5,000 employees worldwide. So I wrote a book, as I told you already, and in this book you can find all this the figures and also the charts. The financial figures, you can see 1993, how it went down, 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 down. There were some highlights, of course, also. And then we failed, 355 million minus. Here are some unit sales of Commodore. You see, A500, we sold 1 million, more than 1 million. A500, 79,000. A600, 193,000. A1000 sidecar was all this.
This is Germany only.
This is Germany only, yeah, unit sales. And you see also CDTV, 25,000, as I told you, and we ordered 250,000. The total sales of Amiga in Germany was 1.6 million, we can say.
And 1 million of this was Amiga 500.
Yeah, right. So we have, me too, I have a history, but I have no future, unfortunately. So you can see from time to time, we met us. This was in 2005 in Braunschweig. We have had a nice party with all the employees who worked in the assembling factory in Braunschweig. And also from the sales comes a lot of people. And I'm really sad that from this picture, minimum four people died already. They passed away.
Right.
On 28th of April, we have had in Frankfurt a meeting with the old employees of this year. So a few days before, it was 44 people, and we discussed the old times. It was a very nice meeting, yeah. Commodore went out of business in April 1994, and then I lost my job, of course, but I love the firm, the company so much, and I looked after investor, and then I find ESCOM. And under the umbrella of ESCOM, I started then to produce the A4000 in the States and the A1200 in France. And this is the first board which came out of the production in September 1995 from Solectron in Bordeaux. And this is the A4000 tower, which I manufactured in the United States, because the United States for the A4000 tower was a very strong market. And then also for Europe, we imported this then from the States. And this was the last model, the prototype Amiga Walker, two pieces only. I got two pieces from the liquidator when we liquidated the things. And I kept it maybe 20 years in my cupboard. And then I put it out and it still works. One I have given away free of charge to a French guy. And the other one I sold, unfortunately, my whole museum, which I collected over 20 years, because I'm 73 years old, and you never know. Better to give it with a warm hand than with a cold hand. So I liquidated my collection. Here you can see organization chart of Amiga Technologies. And then autumn 1997, Gateway bought Amiga Technology. After ESCOM went into bankruptcy, I again lost my job. And I would like to continue, and then I found a new investor, which was Gateway 2000, at this time a PC company.
Right.
My last work was to develop the Amiga OS 3.5, at this time was 3.1, and together with Hager & Partner, we announced 3.5 and 3.9. And now I think it's also 4.1. I left Commodore official in 2001. In April 2001, yeah, I founded my own company.
This is a good story. This is a good story.
Yeah, I founded my company Power Service in 2001, and then I hired IT specialist So body shopping in India was a good thing at this time because German, they have the green card for high specialist of IT specialist. And I have good connections to India. So I imported IT specialist from India and give it to companies like Deutsche Bank, Commerzbank at this time, and also Arthur Anderson. And these people, they love to take the Indian people because they're very smart. And this was the business. And then I also exported chocolate, from mostly from Germany or from Switzerland to India also. Was a big market. Every 3 months, I think a container, 15 kg chocolate. So this was my action after Commodore.
Well, and the Amigas were selling very good in India because they were still used in the televisions.
Yeah, this was so. When Bill McCune take over the Amiga, I resigned. And my order was to liquidate the warehouse. And there was a lot of A1200. And as I have good connections to India, I sold all my warehouse A1200 to India. So India bought it for $35 a unit. And then after, in 2010 or 2011, I think was not so long ago, this guy, you see him on the picture, he called me and said, Petro, you're still in Amiga? I said, no, I'm not in Amiga at all. I said, we have around about 10,000 units on stock and we would like to get rid of this. You will buy it? I said, come on, I would buy it. She sent me 60 units. So he sent me 60 units and then it goes like a hell. I bought it for €100, you know, but I have to pay custom clearance, I have to pay warehousing, transportation, my work, and it was a lot of things. I have not made money, but I would like to make the community happy. So I brought then in totally 1,000 units back to the market from India. Now India is empty, I think so. And you can see the proud guy who bought for $35 in 1998, I think this was, or the 2000, now 1998, you say, from my side, and I bought it back for €100, a big business. He has a big house now in India, I don't know, yes, he's here. Okay, then you can see, I'm attending, of course, some events, like today, the Gamescom in Cologne, and I'm visiting also some clubs, Amiga clubs, Commodore clubs. And here I'm presenting the Walker and my book. And you see also the co-author of my book, Patrick Klöter. This was in August 2014. This is my book here. I have it not brought. I have only this only in Germany, unfortunately. But some people are interested to translate it in Polish. So maybe you get it. Time is coming, right? So,
okay, that's the end.
That's me, that's the end. And I thank you for your attention and keep your action with Amiga and with Commodore. I love it. Thank you.
Okay, I think that we have a little more time. Maybe there are some questions. Anybody have a question? Okay.
Thanks for your involvement with the Amiga community, first of all. My question would be, during your time with the Amiga, was there any business decision which you were involved in that you wish had a different outcome?
So, you mean there was some decision where I don't agree?
Is there some decision you would change now?
I would change now.
Yeah.
I would change a lot of, because I would like to give it the operating system from Amiga is a beautiful system, as you know. And I would give it as a free system
Open system.
As an open source system. I think this I will implement. But I have had no chance to realize this. This was one of my things which I would do for the market, because so many people are enthusiastic still, and when this is an open source, I think makes a lot of sense.
Any other questions?
I would have two questions. First, What are your interests now, apart from Commodore and Amiga, of course? And the second one, you were a witness of several, let's say, generations of computer products.
Right.
Do you observe the current market, and how do you see this, especially mobile gaming? Is there some connections to all old times, like people some release the same games like before for Amiga also, I guess, now to run on mobile systems, or you see it completely irrelevant?
I think there's a lot of professional video games on the market, but...
Sorry, it was me.
Okay. When I visited the Gamescom in Cologne, it was really incredible for me to see that the young kids between 10 and 15 years, they joined the booths and played the old retro games. And I think the retro games, even if they have not so many pixels, and the sound is incredible. There's a lot of artists who have done a lot of good things in musician, for example, Chris Hülsbeck, for example, and other people. The people like this, maybe more than the modern things, which is like a movie, but it remember a lot of, and young people also, very, very exciting to play this retro games. Yeah?
Yeah?
See, yeah? We need this generation.
According to your speech, what's your favorite Amiga game you played?
My favorite Amiga game? Oh, I love all the Amiga games.
Okay, I think that's enough. Yeah, one more question. Okay.
Okay.
Do you have Commodore 65 in your collection?
Yes, so I would like to tell you something about the C65. Even in my age, I cannot let it run. There's a company who bought a real C65 for €25,000. This company called Mega 65 is now being a very good friend of me, and I'm proud to be the umbrella with them. At the moment, I have another guy who is in China and looking for keyboards and housing for the Mega 65. And I think at the Gamescom, this was one of the plane, the C65 will be in the new market with a PGFA board, right? So this is the story of C65.
Yeah, we have seen the C65 in Neuss.
Yes.
At the Amiga anniversary we went. And yeah, it really looks like the real hardware, like the original C65. Only it has the FPGA inside rather than normal board.
Yes, but all the interfaces, I got two weeks ago. They brought me two. It was really fantastic, these people.
So in near future, you could buy a C65 new in market. Yes. Okay, let's see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your attention.
Awesome.
See you next year.
Yeah, and you can come by Petro and ask him some questions.
Yes, of course.
We will be all the day here.
If you're interested, I have also some cards. I give you autographs. I give you also on the, some people like this, also on posters, and so I have some stickers. Please contact me. I will be available here. Thank you.
Dziękuję bardzo.
Powiadomienia o nowych odcinkach będą na stronie nerdynocą.pl oraz na stronie gplusowej Nerdów Nocą.